Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gradually, as the mind becomes progressively spiritualized, we draw it from sense activities, and by intelligence, the senses will be controlled. The mind, too absorbed in material activities, can be engaged in the service of the personality of Godhead, and become fixed in full transcendental consciousness. The first process of spiritualizing the mind, by mechanical chanting of the pranava, Omkar, and by control of the breathing system, is technically called the mystic or yogic process of pranayama, or fully controlling the breathing air. The ultimate state of this pranayama system is to be fixed in trance, technically called samadhi. But experience has proven that even the samadhi stage also fails to control the materially absorbed mind. For example, the great mystic Vishwamitra Muni, even in the stage of samadhi, became a victim of the senses and cohabited with Menaka. History has already recorded this. The mind, although ceasing to think of sensual activities at present, remembers past sensual activities from the subconscious status, and thus disturbs one from 100% engagement in self-realization. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami recommends the next step of assured policy. He says the next step of assured policy, namely, to fix one's mind in the service of personality of Godhead. Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, also recommends the direct process in Bhagavad Gita 6:47. Thus, the mind being spiritually cleansed, one should at once engage himself in transcendental loving service of the Lord by the different devotional activities of hearing, chanting, etc. If performed under proper guidance, that is the surest path of progress, even for the disturbed mind. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadhavaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadada, Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta. Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So we text once more. Gradually, as the mind becomes progressively spiritualized, withdraw it from sense activities, and by intelligence, the senses will be controlled. The mind, too absorbed in material activities, can be engaged in the service of the personality of Godhead and become fixed in full transcendental consciousness. So I thought, because we've had a bit of a break for Janmasmi, we went on to speaking Krishna Katha, waiting for Krishna's birth. So maybe it's a good idea to just recap where we are in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So at the end of the first chapter, or is it, yeah, at the end of the first canto, rather, Parikshit Maharaj has asked questions. And then in this chapter, Shukdev Goswami will start to answer. So questions that Parikshit Maharaj asked, anybody know what the questions were? What is the hour? So what is the perfect? What is the perfection for all persons, especially for one who is about to die? That's one. And second question was, what is he meant to chant, hear, remember, and worship? And what he should do? And then, of course, what he shouldn't do. So, in this chapter, Shukdev Goswami begins to answer, and there's a few verses, very important verses, that actually happen to be also our memory verses from Bhakti Vaibhav class, so we'll just go through them quickly. So in the second verse of this chapter, Shukadeva Goswami says, Shrotavyadi. So here he's talking about what shouldn't be remembered, what shouldn't be heard, what should not be spoken, what should not be remembered. That is, he's addressing first. So he says, Shrotavyadini Rajendra Rinam Shanti Sahasrasa Apashitam Atma Tattvam Griheshu Griha Medinam. So a griha medhi, being materially engrossed, is blind to the knowledge of the ultimate. And therefore he has thousands of things to talk about, hear about, and remember. In the next verse, 213, he says, Nidriya hirate naktam vava yena chavavaya diachate haya rajan kutumba bharane nava. He says he wastes, such a person, he wastes his life by passing his nights either in sleeping or in sex indulgence, and his daytime in either making money or maintaining family members. And then text 4, he says, Dehapatya kalata deshvatma sanyeshvasat api tesham pramato nidanam pashyan api na pashyanti. He says, such a person is devoid of atma tattva, and it does not inquire about the problems of life. Why? Because he is too reliable, too reliant, rather, on the fallible soldiers. The translation goes fallible soldiers. And these fallible soldiers are the body, children, and wife. And he says, although sufficiently experienced, he still does not see their inevitable destruction. Pashyan api na pashyati. He's seeing, yet he doesn't see. And then 5th to 11th, Shukdev Goswami glorifies Bhakti Yoga and talks about basically now what should be heard and what should be spoken, etc. And text 6 is very important, where he says, what's the perfection, what's the highest perfection of human life? It's etavan sankhya yogya bhyan swadharma parinishthaya janma labha para pumsam ante narayana smriti. The highest perfection of human life, achieved either by complete knowledge of matter and spirit, which is obviously the jnani, jnan marg, by practice of mystic yoga, which is the yogis, or the perfect discharge of occupational duties, the karmis. So for all of them, the highest perfection is to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead at the end of life, ante narayana smriti. So then from the 12th text 14, well, in 12, he says, better to live a short life engaged in devotional service rather than live 100 years as a non-devotee. Then in 13, he gives the example of Maharaj Katwanga. Katwanga Maharaj had just one moment. It was one muhurat, actually, 48 minutes, that he actually utilized to free himself from the material world. And then he says in the 14th text to Shukadeva Goswami, to Parikshit Maharaj, that you've got 7 days. You know, Katwanga Maharaj only had 48 minutes, so you should count your blessings. You've got 7 days to do the right things and make your way out of this world. So he says, do not be afraid of death. Cut off all attachments to the material body and the conditions. And also cut off all desires. And now this particular section, 16 to 19, is addressing Ashtanga Yoga. So in the 16th verse, Krishna spoke about leaving home. Leave home, practice self-control. Remain in a sacred place. Bathe regularly. You know, so this covers, I suppose, if you look at the Ashtanga Yoga, this would cover Yam, Niyam, and Asana. Then in text 17, he says, make the mind remember the three transcendental letters of Om. And by regulating the breathing process and control the mind. So this will be the next stage, Pranayama. And then in this verse, he's talking about withdrawing the mind, as we just read. Withdraw the mind from the sense activities and by intelligence, fix it in full transcendence, full transcendental consciousness. So this is Pratyahara and Dharana, these two stages. And tomorrow's verse, 19, will cover Dhyana and Samadhi. So basically, in this particular section of this chapter, Shukadeva Goswami is saying to Parikshit Maharaj that, you know, you've got 7 days, prepare for death. So we can reflect that Parikshit Maharaj has 7 days to do something about it. We don't know how much time we have. For us, we don't know whether we have 7 days, 7 years, or even 7 minutes or 7 seconds, especially with what's going on nowadays. You know, nobody knows what's happening with our life from moment to moment. So when we plan a holiday, for example, we're going to go to Spain or Italy or whatever for a 2-week holiday, we would spend days preparing for it, months actually, you know, buying the right things, getting the inoculations if it's necessary, you know, getting everything ready, visas if necessary, getting your tickets, hotel accommodations, planning your, you know, sort of all the things you'll do when you are there. So much planning goes into a 2-week holiday. But what happens to our biggest journey that we need to make? The biggest journey, the most important journey that a soul makes is one to move from one body to the other. And we make no plans for that. We just really leave everything to chance. So some may say that yes, we do make plans actually. We have insurance policies in place for our families. We have savings, we have properties, you know, we got everything organized. But this is all material, all material arrangement, which is fair enough, you need to do that. But that does nothing for the soul. So I have a personal experience myself recently, about three weeks ago. I underwent a procedure called angioplasty. So there were one artery, one main artery was blocked in two places. And one of them was blocked 99%. So, you know, as before the operation, of course, they give you all the risks and all that. And they said to me that there is it's quite routine, this procedure, so don't worry. But there's 1 in 100 chance that something could go wrong. And what could go wrong? You could have a stroke while you're having the procedure because they are, you know, messing around with your main arteries. You could have a heart attack while you having this procedure, or you may die. So, of course, that was a few days before this procedure they told me this. So I woke up and I then made all the plans. I set my wife down and gave all the passwords and all the, you know, everything. So everything was done. I was fully prepared, materially. I was fully prepared, actually, thinking, okay, now everything is in hand. I should be okay. Hey, yeah. that's a good point, actually. That's a good point. So, anyway, but I felt that, yes, materially I feel satisfied that I'm okay. If something happens, you know, they can take care of themselves. But what about spiritually? Am I prepared? Was I prepared? Not really. Far from it. So it's something that is very, very difficult. And nobody teaches us, unfortunately. Nobody teaches us, teaches us, except for us when we come to the ISKCON and we read Prabhupada's books. Almost on every page of his books, Prabhupada reminds us about this. Death. Remember death. And generally speaking, when you're speaking about death, either in a social situation, your family or something, they all think you're mad. You know, you're so, you know, crazy, always thinking about so negative things. You know, you're morbid. But it's not. It's something that we must remember all the time. The modern education system doesn't help. Our education system focuses on making people successful materially. So you can, you know, you're taught to make all arrangements for your material success, but nobody teaches anything about the soul. There are subjects like RE, religious studies, whatever, but they talk about various faiths and different kinds of religions. Nobody speaks about actual spirituality, and certainly not about the soul. Srila Prabhupada, when he used to go and give talks at the universities, they used to give him a tour of the university, and so this is a department of so-and-so, department of science, department of whatever. And then he used to say, but where is the department of the soul? That's the most important department. It's not there. So children are being brought up with this mentality of, you know, I need to study, I want to become successful and you know, be very comfortable and just, why? Because I want to enjoy life. So this is what the whole education system in the Western world, I suppose India as well, is bringing up people to enjoy. And nothing to do with what you're going to do after you leave this body. So this reminds me of this Charvak Muni's sloka that Prabhupada often recites. Hedonism. So society is actually becoming hedonistic. So Prabhupada recites this verse quite often. He says, Rinam kritva kritam pibet. Yava jivet sukham jivet. Bhasmi bhutasya dehasya kuta puna agamana bhaved. So he says, Rinam kritva gritam pibet. So whatever you do, drink ghee, gritam. Drink ghee. So of course, the point is, of course, in those days, maybe ghee was one of the most expensive commodities to have. Only the rich people could afford ghee, I suppose. So idea being, just live an opulent life. So then some may ask, yeah, but you know, I can't afford ghee. So then he says, Rinam. So it says, borrow. Become a rini to somebody. Borrow money if you need to. Borrow, buy, beg or steal. But enjoy life. Yava jivet sukham jivet. So however you live, just live happily. Right? And then somebody may say, but then what? If I live like this, what about my next life? What the karma? Where are you going to? He says, Bhasmi bhuta shya dehasya. He says, when this body is burnt, everything is finished. Kuta punar agamanaya bhavet. Where's the question of coming back here? Just enjoy this life. There's nothing after this. So this is the mentality. This is the atheistic philosophy. But this is what the children actually grow up thinking of this. It's all about sense gratification. Ahar nidra bhaya maithun. And this is what Prabhupada often says, even the animals do this regularly. And the difference between the human being and the animals is that apart from doing the eating, sleeping, mating, defending, the animals do something about the soul. Lord Rishabhadev, teaching his sons in the fifth canto, chapter 5, right in the beginning, text 1, he says, Rishabhu Vacha, Nayam deho deha bhajam ni loke, kashtan kamam arhate vid bujam ye, tapo divyam putraka yena satvam, Shudyat yashmad brahma saukhyam tvanantam. So Lord Rishabhadev says to his sons, my dear boys, of all the living entities who have accepted material bodies, one who has actually been awarded this human body should not waste his life simply for sense gratification, which is available even to dogs and hogs that eat stool, Prabhupada says. Well, actually, the translation, so Prabhupada says translation, yeah. He says, one should engage in penance and austerity. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Radha Gokula Nand ki jai, Shri Sita Ram Lakshma Hanuman ki jai, Shri Gonitai ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified. And when one attains this position, he attains eternal blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness, and which continues forever. Brahma Saukhyam Tvanantam. So unlike the material happiness, which is only momentary, think of any happiness, whatever thing, whatever makes you happy. I got a very sweet tooth, so I like eating ice cream. So you put a spoonful of ice cream in your mouth, and your enjoyment is only up to here. Once it passes your throat, it's gone. Okay, you may have some remnants of the taste, but that's going to die away soon, right? But Brahma Sukhyam Tvanantam, so this divine devotional service, the happiness that we derive from there, it is not just everlasting, but ever increasing. That's the difference. But nobody is bothered about all this. People just want to make arrangements for this life and forget about it. So once my Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Bhaktacharya Swami Guru Maharaj, was in South Africa, and he was due to give a seminar, a four-day seminar in Durban. And from the airport to the place he was going to live in, there was billboards, because soon after that, there was going to be a visit from a very famous Indian, I saw calling philosopher or whatever you call him, who was going to give a talk on art of living. So we all know who that personality is, very famous personality. So when Guru Maharaj saw various posters, art of living, art of living, art of living, so he had planned to give a seminar on something to do with maybe Bhagavatam, particular aspect of Bhagavatam, but he changed his mind. And he decided to give a seminar on art of dying. So just before that person came and gave a seminar on art of living, Guru Maharaj gave a seminar, four-day seminar, on the art of dying. And of course, Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching, that's all he's teaching us, art of dying. So, in this purport, Prabhupada begins with talking about the goal of practicing Ashtanga Yoga is to reach Samadhi. But the point is, of course, after reaching Samadhi, one is not guaranteed success. And the examples he gives one example of Vishwamitra Muni, who was in Samadhi, who was meditating for, 64,000 years or something like that. Long, long time. But despite such a long time of meditation, when he heard the ankle bells of Menaka, his meditation was disturbed. And of course, he then lived with her, and the rest is history. Another example that we read about is Saubari Muni. Saubari Muni was such a powerful Muni that he had actually perfected the siddhi of meditating underwater. So he would go under the Yamuna, inside the Yamuna, and sit and meditate for years under the water. And even he got disturbed. By what? Anybody tell me? By what? How did Saubari Muni get disturbed? Fish, exactly. He just saw a couple of fish copulating, and something simple as that got him disturbed, and he came out of Samadhi again. He married 50 princesses, and then that was the end of his spiritual life. So, but the mind, then Prabhupada continues in the purport, the mind, although ceasing to think of sensual activities at present, remembers past sensual activities from the subconscious status, and thus disturbs one from the 100% engagement in self-realization. So this is quite scary, isn't it? You know, we can do whatever, we can do everything that our Guru Maharaj teaches us, we read about everything, and right now we can really make sure that our mind is not thinking about anything. But yet, the danger here is that our subconscious is still harboring all these things that we have gone through in the past, not maybe even not in this lifetime, even previous lifetimes. And these things, when they will suddenly, you know, come and disturb us, we don't know. So we need to remain ever alert. And just make sure that even a thought like this begins to arise, we just nip it in the bud and just start chanting. We chant and we just pray to the holy name to save us from these thoughts. And then Prabhupada comes to the point. He says, therefore, Shukadeva Goswami recommends the next assured step. So this is guaranteed. If we do this, then we will not fall down. What is it? That is the policy to fix one's mind in the service of the personality of Godhead. Param drishtva nivartante. So basically, all the other methods where you're sitting and trying to focus your mind on something, either some light or maybe nothingness or whatever, it's fine. For a while you'll be able to do that and control your mind. But unless the mind, because the mind is ever active, the mind cannot remain vacant. So unless the mind is given some other engagement, it is going to drag you down to lower levels. As water always flows downwards easier, our mind will go downwards easier to the lower modes. So, param drishtva nivartante, we need to make sure that we give it higher engagement. But the inclination to engage in devotional service is not aroused if we are materially engrossed. So here's the catch-22 situation. If we are engrossed materially, it's going to be difficult to think about Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj says in the 7th canto, 5th chapter, to his father, he said, Matirna Krishna Parata Svatova Mitho Vimatyate Griha Vritana Adanta Gobir Vishatam Tamasram Punah Punas Punah Punas Charvita Charvinana. Prahlad Maharaj says, that because of the uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress towards hellish conditions of life and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. So what does that mean, chew that which has already been chewed? So I can give the example, my own example. For example, I'm in my late 60s now. I've done everything. I've had education, I worked for a little while, I had my own business, I made money, I did everything that normal people do. But in the end, I really found no satisfaction. And this is why I turned, because of the association of some nice devotees, I turned to Krishna consciousness, and there I'm finding some semblance of satisfaction. But despite that, when it comes to my son, what is my advice to my son? I'm not saying to him, stop everything and come to the temple. I'm saying to him, get good education, get a good career. This is called chewing the chewed. I chewed it, I didn't get any taste out of it, but I'm still making my son chew it. But this is what's wrong. But you know, it's very, very difficult to get your mentality away from it, because you know, think about security first of all. You think about, okay, if he's not educated, how is he going to, you know, maintain himself? But hopefully, you know, Krishna will give him the intelligence and eventually come back. He was already practicing before he went to university. Hopefully he'll come back with Krishna's mercy. But yeah, so in that text he says that his inclination towards Krishna will not be aroused either by instructions of others, by their own instructions, or by combination of both. So what can be done to arouse the Krishna consciousness? So there's a series of verses in the first canto, second chapter, talking about this, how the nine stages of bhakti can be realized. And it starts from rendering service. So one must, first of all, of course, have shraddha. With shraddha, you would come to some place like a temple, and there you would start to render some service. So that text 16, 2.1.16 says, Shushushro Sadda Nasya Vasudeva Gadha Kata Ruchi Shyan Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punya Tirtha Nishevanat. He says, by serving those devotees who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains the affinity to hear the messages of Vasudeva. Vasudeva Gadha Ruchi. So Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, and Bhajanikriya starts. And then you start hearing You get the taste, you start hearing, Shonam Kirtanam, Shonam Swagatha, Krishna, Punyasva, Shravana Kirtana, Vidyantastopadrani, Vidunoti Shuvit Svatam. So, by Krishna sitting in our heart, as we hear more of his lectures or his katha, he does a favor and removes the desire for material enjoyment from our hearts. So this is bhajan kriya, and then anatha nivritti starts. And then this famous verse, nashta prayashu bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevayat bhagavati uttama shloke bhakti bhavati nashtriki. So by regular attendance of classes of bhagavatam like this, and rendering service to the pure devotee, what happens? All that is troublesome to our heart is almost completely cleansed, destroyed rather. And the loving devotional service to personally regarded becomes established in our hearts as an irrevocable fact. So this is anatha nivritti and nishtha. Almost completely. Because our anarthas remain to a certain degree, even we are higher and higher, even to the bhava state, some are remaining. This is why people even fall away from the bhava state sometimes. Until you reach the prema stage, some anarthas are still remaining. So we always have to be alert. And then what happens after that? Text 19, 2, 119. Tada rajastamo bhava kama lobha nayaschaya cheta ete anavidham sthitam satya prasiddhati. So as soon as this happens, as soon as a loving devotional service is established in the heart, then the effects of the modes of passion and ignorance, like lust, desire, and hankering, they disappear from the heart. And this is when the devotee is established in goodness and becomes completely happy. This is the stage of Ruchi and Ashakti. We haven't even got to Bhava and Prema yet. And then next one, he says, Evam prasanna manaso bhagvat bhakti yogata bhagvat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayati. So thus, we are established in the mode of unalloyed goodness. Then a man whose mind is enlivened by devotional service, he gains positive scientific knowledge of the Supreme Lord. So this is the, once you have the positive scientific of knowledge of the Lord, you're convinced, and you're now approaching Bhava in a prema stage. So there's a lot more we can speak about this verse. Let me see if there's something that I can... Just a couple of minutes left. Always over-prepared as usual. Anyway, we just look at the result of following that process that we just went through. The result of that process would be, as in text 27, Binyate hirdaya gantish chidyante sarva samshaya kshiyante chasya karmani vishta evatmanishvare. So like this, the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive activities is terminated for one who sees the self as the master. So when I read this first time, I was thinking, we always thought, you're not the master, you're the servant. So how come this verse is saying, when you realize that you're a master, then you are perfect? Can anybody tell, maybe throw some light on it? In what sense here, this verse is saying, thus the knot in the heart is pierced, and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as the master. How come we're not servants? We're masters here. Yes, Prabhu?
Goswami is master of the senses?
Yes, exactly. Not the master of the world, not the master of all that I can see, but the master of the senses. It says in 342, is it 342? Indriyani parayahu, indriya paramana, manasastu buddhi, yogodha parayatastu sir. So say, I am, first of all, it says the working senses are higher than dull matter. The mind is higher than the senses. Then he says the intelligence is still higher than the mind. But he, the soul, is even higher than the intelligence. So we have realized that we are the masters. Not let the senses drive us, but we, through the intelligence, as this verse says, let the intelligence drive the senses. And let's not get dragged away. So it's 8:30, and I will stop here, invite any comments, any questions. Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yes, Shivashabhu.
You said in your class that we don't know whether we're going to live 7 minutes. Mars person, he lives 7 days. But it seems in the material people do have hope that they're going to live a long time. Why is that? How come the hope is there for them?
This is, Prabhupada would say, this is Maya, isn't it? This is illusion. This is why everybody thinks. And isn't it, Yamaraj speaking to Yudhishthira Maharaj, where he says that every day I see and I hear of thousands of living entities dying. And yet, I believe that it's not going to happen to me, or at least it's not going to happen to me for a long, long time. This is, he said, the most wonderful thing in this world. So, unfortunately, yes, all of us are under the impression that, yes, I still have a lot of time to sort out things, so let me do this, I'll do my spirituality later. Right? But Prahlad Maharaj says, Kamaram Acharya Sreshta Et Prajna. Do your devotional service from the beginning of your life, from a very, very early age, from Kamara stage. For us, all of us, it's over. For most of us, it's too late, but at least for me, we can talk to our family when they're young children growing up. Engage them in devotional service. Because once, unless the seeds are sown in the young age, we're not going to make any sense of it later on. The life is too, especially life is too busy for people nowadays to think about spirituality. Yes, Pirojan Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for this nice class. It's a practical point of view, and you're coming up with these answers. The one thing is that actually the master of the senses, is there's a paradox in this, because we only become master of the senses when we surrender. In other words, that actually that Prabhupada explains in a letter to Jayapataka Swami that we have to see that, he says, such a surrendered soul sees that everything is part of Krishna's plan. No matter what I am doing now, I'm meant to be doing. So we first have to see that actually, to really master the senses, we have to understand that what I'm doing now, whether it be a work job, household life, or whatever, it says that it's Krishna's plan. So we can't fight it. We're where we are and where we are. And so he says that such a surrendered soul sees that everything's part of Krishna's plan. No matter what I am doing now, I'm meant to be doing. So let me do it with my full attention. No matter what it is, let all other considerations be forgotten. That's the mind. Should I be doing this? Should I be getting attached to my family? Attachment's always there. It's an affection. It's part of the soul's nature to become affectionate when serving. And so let all other considerations be forgotten. And then he says, let me become absorbed in such service. Because it's part of Krishna's plan. We should do it the best we can and do it as an act of worship. He says, so let me become absorbed in that service in such a way that my attention is knowing that it's an act of worship, that actually Krishna has given me this job to do. And I should do it to the best of my ability, no matter what it is. And Yad Kuroshi, Yad Ashini, do everything for me, he says. And that's what he's talking about.
Absolutely.
We should do everything as a spiritual activity. That boss in the material world is been put there by Krishna. I serve him to the best of my ability, but not that he's the master. But Krishna says, he's your master. So you have to be humble. So we can always do the job better than the boss, can't we? Isn't it?
Of course. I always think
but
so.
Actually, we have to act in such a way, in humility, even if he's an idiot, that we have to do what he says as an act of service to Krishna. He put him there.
Absolutely.
So we have to understand that actually we spiritualize our activity in such a way that the presence of Krishna says that we should do it as an act of worship. Do everything nicely. So, and then full-hearted. Let all other considerations be forgotten. So we put our heart into everything because it's a spiritual activity. Sarvopadi vinayamuktam tatparadvena nirmanami yashikesha rishikesha sevanam bhakti ujjati. Bhakti means engaging all our senses in the service of the Lord. So knowing that it's Krishna's plan, we can still absorb our senses, but not in such a way that it's attached to the activity or the result, but it's Krishna's plan. And the result is in his hand. Success or failure. No success, no failure. Because you're working in such a way where it's everything is service. And so, and my only motive is Krishna's alone pleasure.
Thank you so much, Vajra Prabhu. Such wonderful thoughts, right from the heart. Thank you very much.
So, excellent. For one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me.
Hari Hari Bo, well done. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. But yes, you're right. People want to be independent. Our independence is actually, our independence lies in surrendering our little independence unto Krishna. That's where our independence lies. But thank you for making the wonderful points. Before, I want to just quickly cover a couple of things, if I can find my notes now. You know, we are right in the middle of, towards the end of the Bhadra campaign. So this is for everybody, in, of course, in the temple room, as well as people online. we have the worldwide campaign led by His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu. Our goal this year was to distribute 25,000 Srimad Bhagavatams all over the world. The goal for the manor is 400 sets. We are quite short. We are about 210 sets short still. It's been not going very well. But, you know, normally the energy picks up in the next 2 weeks. So Brother Purnima is on the 20th of September, I believe. Until then, we're looking for everybody's support to try and help us distribute Srimad Bhagavatams. Prabhupada, this was one of his most pleasing activities, to distribute his books. And we can all do our bit here, especially on in the special year of the occasion of 125th appearance anniversary of Srila Prabhupada. We can do three things. Either if we haven't got Bhagavatam at our homes, invite Bhagavatam to our home. Number two, inspire a friend or family to invite Bhagavatam to their homes, or sponsor a Bhagavatam set, which we can then place in a nice place. So please do help out. On the 12th of September, we have a very special program which will be led by His Grace Sudapa Prabhu. We'll be at Haveli, where there will be Yajna and Lunch Prashadam. And people who have sponsored or bought Bhagavatams will be invited for the personal appearance here at Haveli. Others can follow it online. So please do follow. If people want to know about it more, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.